Just fascinating work here, The End of Materialism with Dr. Charles Tart. And we'll be back with Charlie and your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Charlie, have you ever gone to a funeral?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Have you ever looked in the casket? You see the body there. Have you ever wondered if there's anything on the other side?
Oh, you betcha.
All the time. You wonder what they're going through or whether that's it. They're in the casket. Close it. Tuck them away. That's it. It's kind of frustrating.
It is frustrating. But, you know, for a long time, I've been convinced there is something on the other side. You know, even though I listed among the many maybes, it's not absolutely proven. The evidence for some kind of survival is awfully good.
I hope so.
I hope so, too. Now, so, I like to tell people to sum up my whole feelings about what's going to happen when I die. I put it into two sentences. One of them is that, on the one hand, I won't be too surprised if after a period of unconsciousness, I regain consciousness. But on the other hand, I'll be really surprised if I regain consciousness.
That's right.
Because,
and that's a big I.
Yeah. Because, you know, a lot of what I think of as I now has to do with my physical body. I won't have a physical body then. So it's going to be different. It's going to be some kind of altered state of consciousness.
Back to the phones we go to Berea, Ohio, east of the Rockies. Bill is on the line with us. Bill, go ahead.
Hi, George. Honor to talk to you. I talked to Art 12 years ago, and now I have the honor to talk to you as a fellow a Navy veteran.
Hey, thank you.
Okay, I have like to share this with all the listeners. I had a telepathic message on July 8th of 81. I was on a motorcycle I had. It wasn't 2 years old, a sporty model. And about four blocks or five blocks from where I was going to restaurant bar, the whole top of my head, the only way I could explain it is like if you took a string line and put it across my eyebrows, above my ears, just from there up. So the whole brain was like just a different kind of feeling. And it was like a message, but I couldn't hear nothing. And it was like, this is the last time you're going to see this motorcycle. I got a half a block from the restaurant. That same feeling come down real strong again. I walked in, I parked the motorcycle, I got off of it, I shook my head, I tried to shake that feeling out of my head, went in and had two drinks, came out 20 minutes later, it was gone.
You knew?
Someone predicted that. I'd like to ask your guest there, Charles, if he had anybody that had feelings like that with the message.
Oh, yeah. People have often had experiences where they predict the future that way. And, George, I don't know if you've had him on lately, but you ought to have Larry Dossey on, who's just done this book on premonitions, predicting the future like that. It's fascinating stuff.
Super.
Sometimes it happens. And sometimes the prediction is of something bad that's going to happen, but yeah. You're able to intervene in some way that keeps it from happening.
You know, but people have used this for so many times. Bill, go ahead. You probably have more here.
Well, I was wondering if anybody else had that feeling, like what I had, a real physical feeling, like in the brain, you know, just the whole top of my head just felt tingly. I don't even know how to explain it. Nothing like I ever had in my whole life. You know,
Yeah, it's one of those cases where the feeling expresses itself very much in terms of your body sensations. You know, and if we could really educate people to read their own bodies, I think that would be an excellent readout on psychic abilities sometimes.
Now that could be too. Good. Thanks for the question. Next up, let's go to Hawaii, Aurora, west of the Rockies. You're up with us. Hi there, Aurora.
Hi.
Go ahead. Aloha.
Aloha.
They've taught me that. My Hawaiian friends.
Very good. Very good.
There you go. I hear your kokies.
Yes, yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Okay, go ahead.
So I just had a strange experience. I've had many strange experiences, but this is one I've never experienced before, and I'm just trying to find somebody who knows what happened. It was Christmas Eve. We were in Hilo at one of the plazas, you know, last-minute shopping, me and my stepdaughter, and we were just sitting there waiting for a ride, just relaxing in the mall, and it's where these three walkways converge. And we see this lovely family, a father, a mother, a daughter walking and a baby in a carriage. And they're just playing and laughing, and they tip the carriage up, and the baby laughs, and they walk on by. 5 minutes later, the exact same people walked by and did the exact same things as we had just seen them do. And there's no way physically that they could have ran around outside the mall and came back in. It was kind of like on The Matrix when there's the glitch and the cat walks across the screen twice.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what that was. I don't know what I've experienced. We were in a very relaxed state. That's the only thing I can say that was just outside of normal consciousness.
Well, it might have been a precognition kind of experience where you knew ahead of time that it was going to come by, and you saw it like it was a vision, and you didn't think it was anything unusual because you were in a relaxed state. Then the actual thing happened. Could have been it.
It could be
another one of these cases of the universe just saying, I'm going to rattle people's cages just to keep their minds open here.
What's the strongest type of ability here? Telepathy, precognition, dreams, what is it?
Any one of them can function at sort of low levels or at really high levels. It depends on the situation. So sometimes, for instance, a telepathic impression will take the form of actually seeing an apparition of someone rather than just having a feeling that you ought to telephone them or something like that. You know, what we get in the laboratory tends to be weak, but what happens in everyday life when it involves people's loved one and it's really important to them, that can be extremely strong. I could not, at this point in our knowledge, put any limits on any of this stuff. You know, I can't say, well, telepathy can send this kind of message, but not that kind of message, or remote viewing can do this, but not that. Some extraordinary things happen once in a while.
Okay, next up, we go to Manitoba, Canada. Logan is up with us.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, Logan.
I got a question for you, and you said you had written a book there. And I was wondering if you ever came across something called the Law of Attraction.
Yeah, I have.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I read this book. It's called The Secret. It's really interesting, and I think all the viewers listening should probably go out and buy it because it has a lot to do with this kind of thing. It basically explains how your brain sends out waves into the universe about what you're thinking. How can I explain this? The law states like attracts like. Famous celebrities and scientists like Einstein are quoted in it, and it describes how the brain is, if focused, can send positive waves into the universe and get results back. But there's also a negative side to it. If negativity manifests within the brain, it can destroy the whole process. I was just wondering your thoughts on this. On this theory, or?
Well, I don't know about the specific mechanism of waves from the brain or something like that, but it probably is generally true that what you think about a lot, you attract it in some sense. Now, sometimes that's just a matter of you go to the kind of places where those things are more likely to happen. Sometimes it may be psychic. I think the moral of it is that you want to be careful what you think. If you think right. about negative stuff all the time, you may have the pleasure of being right by experiencing a lot of negative stuff, but what kind of pleasure is that?
Yeah, exactly. Also, you were speaking about dreams earlier, and I had a dream about 3 months ago, and I had woken up in my dream, and all these unfamiliar faces were around, and I was in a hospital bed, and it turned out that these were my relatives, my close family, and I had been in a coma for 10 years, and... Yeah, that was a bit scary for me, but I ended up waking up and realizing that it was just a dream, and holy man, did it ever scare me. So I just thought I would share that with you guys and your viewers.
Okay, Logan, thank you. And you know, with the law of attraction, Charlie, you know, it simply says that you attract into your life whatever you think about,
mm-hmm.
that you can do that. I believe that. I've been a believer of this for a long, long time.
So think good thoughts, or else.
If that's what you want.
Right, yeah, you know.
Right, it's almost like, you know, if remember what you wished for. You
know. Mm-hmm. I remember a case of a friend of mine, a psychologist, who was telling me once about how he had nightmares very frequently, and he wondered how to get rid of them. And I asked him about his habits. It turned out he usually watched a horror movie before he went to bed each night. I said, well, what do you expect?
Let's go to Nevada City, California, first-time caller. Hey, Catherine, how are you?
Good evening. I'm fine.
Good.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Charlie, we met 2 years ago at Esalen, had lunch together, and you met a young man who was able to manifest goosebumps on demand. And this is a story about a year after that when he went into a state of spiritual emergency and his parents took him out of state and had him put for observation in a hospital.
Uh-oh.
And, it has a good ending to the story, though.
Good.
And during this time, we were not in any type of communication whatsoever, and I was extremely concerned. And all I knew is that his mother screamed and said, you know, he's not coming back, he's not coming back, and you're at fault. And we had practiced nonverbal communication quite a bit, and so I went into an altered state with the use of some technology that was developed at the Monroe Institute. And in that state, I got some brief glimpses. I saw a Bengal tiger running by, and I was in a very confused state because I was entering into his state, I felt. And I saw a vision of him in profile telling somebody, when you order, I fall into disorder. And so I then thought that maybe it might be more useful to do some work, some shamanic journey work. And I indeed proceeded to do some shamanic journey work. And interestingly enough, when I went to the lower world, there's a tradition you go to the lower world and you get your power animal and you do things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My power animal is lion, except this time tiger showed up. And I'm like, no, my power animal is lion. And I was told, no, you're going to need tiger for this adventure. And so I said, okay, well, can I have lion too? And so the three of us went off, and we found my friend sitting on the edge of a stream, dangling snakes around his neck.
Jeez.
And he told me that Wolf, which was his totem, had taken his soul, and he had given it to Wolf, and Wolf had run off. To make a long story short, I wound up battling Wolf, who was using the soul to control a den of wolves, as in the form of tiger, wrested the soul back, and gave Lion the soul for safekeeping. Over a period of days, I continued to visit my friend, and he continued to say no, he didn't really want his soul back. He was very happy in this altered state, and he was playing in the river with Ophelia. Well, a few days later, I woke up with a start, and I had the knowledge that if he did not come out of this state soon, he was probably going to wind up staying at this hospital for quite some time. And so I went back to the Monroe Institute stuff because I found that was better for direct communication. And I went into a focus level where you're in a state of, you know, non-physicality. And I made very direct contact and asked my friend if he wanted his soul back, because these are your choices. I said, you can choose to stay in this altered state, and that's fine if that's what you choose. I'll honor that. But if you choose that, you may wind up staying in this hospital and will probably wind up being medicated. Or you can let me do a soul retrieval. He said, no, he would accept the soul retrieval. Long story short, I did the soul retrieval. 2 days later, I got an email from him, and he reported that he was fine. And I had been sending shamanic friends very detailed reports of the soul retrieval work I had been doing and blind copying him. And he said, keen observations in your journeys, and thank you. And
it sounds like you saved his life, Catherine. Absolutely saved his life. People can do this now, Charlie, individually, can't they?
Yeah, this is one of the really interesting things. You know, shamanic work has been reintroduced to our culture mainly through Michael Harner's work.
It's not laughed at anymore.
Well, it's laughed at still in an awful lot of circles, but there's enough serious information coming out about it now that I think it needs to be taken seriously. And here's an example of where it looks like it did a lot of good for some people. I'm all for developing this more.
Our friend Billy Mumy, who was in the Twilight Zone. Do you remember some of those Twilight Zone episodes?
Long time ago.
Do you remember the one called It's a Good Life with the little tiny redheaded kid who would wish people into the cornfield when he got upset with them? He had that ability to
just think thoughts.
Okay, now Billy's grown up, by the way. He's a great musician and comes on the show once in a while. But he was able to do that. He was able to think what he wanted. Unfortunately, it was all negative in the Twilight Zone. It was all evil. But he would, you know, he could turn somebody into a little jack-in-the-box thing, you know, and send them out into the cornfield, do whatever he wanted to do. And that's the power of thought. Can't the power of thought be used in a negative way?
I hope not. But I'm telling you more about my hopes and fears than about reality. You obviously don't do experiments on this if you're an all
not on negativity.
Nope. Right. But a lot of people certainly have negative feelings toward other people. They would like to use these abilities to harm other people. My hope is that it doesn't work, or that if it does work to some extent, we can find out how to shield it or something. But you're taking me beyond my sure knowledge here.
I see. I do think it unfortunately works. But I think what happens, Charlie, it's got a ripple effect for those people who think negative, who send negative vibes to other people, who try to hurt other people. I think it comes back to them eventually.
Yeah.
You know the old saying, what goes around comes around?
Yeah.
I believe that happens, but it really comes back in a big way.
That would certainly make sense.
Maybe 5 times more, 10 times more the way you send it out. So, yeah, it works. You want to hurt somebody, you could probably do it through the power of suggestion, through the power of your mind. But just get ready when it comes back, because it's going to come back eventually. One day, you might end up being a little old person, but it'll still get you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at somebody like Bernie Madoff.
You know, one of the things...
He made off with billions.
One of the things that's really intrigued me has been research on near-death experiences, because near-death experiences often include a life review, where a person in the least intense form feels like the highlights of their life flash before them, but often in more intense forms they feel like they relive every moment of their life. Well, there's a very intense form of that where a person says, I not only experienced every moment of my life, I experienced the reactions of everybody else to what I did to them. What would that be like if you'd caused a lot of other people suffering and pain? You'd get it all back. I think that's really a motivation to be a decent person.
Well said, Dr. Charlie Tart. We'll be back with final phone calls for him in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, Marsha Bartusiak joins us. The Day We Found the Universe should be a fascinating program. We'll come right back, though, and wrap things up with final phone calls with our special guest, Dr. Charlie Tart on Coast to Coast AM. Charlie, there's no question when people act spiritual and feel better, they feel better about themselves, they feel better about other people, good things start to happen to them most of the time.
Most of the time, yeah. It's the exceptions that get us.
Well, the exceptions happen, unfortunately. Here's an example. Somebody is good, very spiritual, but something happens. They get sick. Maybe they get cancer. Who knows? Why, they say. Why are you doing this to me? Why does it happen, Charlie?
Well, when you say something like that, it means you have standards for the universe, standards for God, and she's not living up to them. And if you think about it, it's kind of funny that you believe in some being that's vastly superior to you, and yet you're going to judge their conduct. I don't have enough arrogance to judge that, okay? When something bad happens to me, I try to take it as a learning experience. I say try, that doesn't mean that I succeed at it. But it's so easy to come up with an idea of what God and spirit and religion should be, and then lose it all as soon as something contradicts it. And I think that's why, for instance, the kind of spiritual training that says you should cultivate non-attachment, that you should just learn to flow with things the way they happen, can be real good for dealing with those kind of disappointments in life. That doesn't mean, you know, you should just be passive and say, well, everything is fated and I'm not going to try to do anything. But you can, on the one hand, expect that everything you're going to do is going to give you a divine reward because you're so good, or just think that nothing you do matters, on the other hand. Now, I'm not happy with that answer, George, but I'm a human being struggling with trying to make sense of this. I don't have any easy answers.
Nobody does. Let's go to Los Angeles. Hey, Dennis, welcome to the show. You're up with us. Go ahead, Denny.
I've been listening to you guys for a long time. You keep me awake every night. You've got a great guest there, Charlie, and George, you're an incredible guy. I'm so glad you took over Coast to Coast.
Thank you, Denny.
I've been doing psychic readings for a long time. I've never charged for it. Don't believe in that. Found out my grandmother was psychic. I've actually saved my life many times, saved lives of friends many times.
Good.
Just very quickly, I'm just writing this down, but my wife at one time wanted to move into an apartment project, beautiful apartment project, one of the best in the city. And I said, I don't want to move in there. At this time, she knew I was very psychic. I'd been through a place in Houston called the Mind Science Research Institute, and they said that I had an incredible degree of psychic ability. But anyway, she listened to me, and she says, well, I'm just curious, why not? I said, because it's going to burn down. 2 years later, it burned down. Never had a problem in its past. I'm a pilot. I knew at one time that there was going to be a... When I got into the cockpit of the plane, I knew I shouldn't be in there. I got out, found out later that the engine... There was a problem with the engine. The engine would have quit.
Whoa.
My friend went to the doctor. The doctor checked her out, did a mammogram, said, nah, you're okay. I said, do me a favor, go back to the doctor. She went back to the doctor. The doctor wouldn't do anything. I called the doctor and kind of had to tell the doctor that if she didn't give my friend an MRI and if anything happened, I was going to hire the best attorney. I said, I'll even pay for it. She went back and did it and found out my friend had a tumor on her kidney and would have died within 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, I have... let's see. I've even done, when I came out to California, I called my mom and I said, hey, Mom, don't worry. Next Wednesday, we're going to have an earthquake. It's probably Wednesday or Thursday, but we'll have a very severe earthquake. Don't worry about me. I'll be okay. And on Wednesday evening, early Thursday morning, we had an earthquake. It was pretty substantial here. Some of the other things that have happened, a friend of mine, I was talking to him one night. I said, I had a weird feeling that your car is going to be stolen tomorrow. Locked up in his garage, no way. Next day, his car was stolen. And I've done readings on the phone for people that I've known for a long time, and I'll tell them what they did the weekend, and I'll say, I know what you did. And people I've never met before, I was in investments at one time, and people would call up, and I said, you went camping, described the tent. And I said, but there was a problem with the tent. You couldn't get the pegs on the ground. How did you know? Or I'll run into people and shake their hand. And I said, you have a sister by the name of Maria that just recently got married. And she got married to a guy by the name of John, who's an architect. And I said, how the heck did you know that? And I'm always telling people, you know, their birthdays. I said, and I don't say, you know, it's in the summer month. I give an exact date. I'll say it's August the 12th. How in the world did you know that?
Now, do you ever get in trouble telling people these things?
Yeah, I do sometimes. One of the things that happened to my sister before she passed away is she would go under a street light, and the street lights would go out. She asked me if it ever happened to me. I said, never happened to me. She died, and then it started happening to me. And, Charlie, you are exactly right when you were talking about the after-death experience. I had a very dear friend of mine who explained it to me in such detail, and she described it exactly like what you did. And I would enjoy meeting you sometime. Maybe I'm going to start going to some of George's meetings that he has around the country.
Sure.
Because they're really good. And as I said, you know, this has saved my life many times. I would wake up at night and tell my ex-girlfriend, you know, about a plane crash that I saw. And I was in tears because I couldn't read the number on the tail to call the FAA and say, this is where it is. and the plane did crash later.
Were you able to do this, Dennis, when you were small, a little kid?
Yeah, I was, and I found out later. I grew up in a little town called Texas City, Texas, and they had a huge explosion there in April of 1947.
Yeah, that one was a big, but they've had a lot now, haven't they?
Yeah, well, they've had a lot, but when I was a kid, what happened was, is that normally I would be in my bed, and this day I was crying, and mother would pick me up, and they told me this story. I was only two at the time, but they picked me up. I was okay. They put me back in that bed. I didn't want to be in that bed. 30 minutes later, the blast and the window fell in on that bed, and if I hadn't been crying, I would have been dead on the glass.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But there have been times where I knew that I was going to die if I did something, and I knew that other people were going to die too. And basically what I would do is just kind of tell them, say, I'm really kind of worried, you know, that you could get to an accident today. Please drive carefully. And I wouldn't say I see you dying, because nobody really knows if you're going to die or not, but I just say, please just be very, very careful.
Uh-huh.
And I've also been able to do psychokinesis. My ex-wife and I used to go to some kind of underground clubs back in Houston, and after a few drinks, I was kind of a little bit loose, and I'd be watching the people play dice, and I'd say 12. It would come up 12, and then they'd roll it, and I'd say 6, and it'd come up 6, and my friends dragged me out of there. They said, we're going to get you out of here. They don't understand psychic. The dice are loaded.
Yeah. You know, we find all this psychic stuff very fascinating, but we should remember that it hasn't been very long historically since they used to burn people at the stake that they thought had talents.
That's like a lot of people decided to hold back. Look at Nostradamus. He had to write in quatrains because they would have taken him out, too.
Yeah, so even in these relatively open times, I generally advise discretion for people.
Dennis, thanks for your phone call. Let's go to Grand Rapids, Michigan. Nick is there on Coast to Coast. Hey, Nick at Night. Go ahead.
Hello, George. Hello, Dr. Tart.
Hi.
I'm listening. I've only been listening now for a couple months to the show, and I bless you, George, for your love and respect that you give everyone. I just wanted to tell you that, and we all have a part of the clue to the great mystery, and I just wanted to tell Dr. Tart, if you guys are familiar with sympathetic vibratory physics, Dale Pond's work at all.
No, that's a new one to me.
For some reason I couldn't resist but calling in, and I needed to tell you guys that, and in the spirit of John Worrell Keeley and Tesla and Edgar Cayce, this man is amazing. I have been on a personal quest to find out the truth, and it's actually driven me crazy. And
he's into everything, isn't he? Mathematics, computers, music, geometry. He's done it all, hasn't he?
Yeah, I'm just learning on him, but I just want to tell Dr. Tart and all your listeners about him, and the only way I can think of getting the message across is the only video on YouTube about him. Type in Dale Pond or
P-O-N-D
for physics, and I think that's a part of the missing something missing. That it seems like you're a doctor. You've been through all it, and it just seems like there's something missing. And I needed to tell you that and get that across to all your listeners. That is that crystal clarity in mind. It is absolutely unbelievable what this man is doing, and I've just sold all my stuff, and I'm ready to run off and chase the truth, and I'm so excited, and I just want to thank you guys, and I want to tell you that and all your listeners.
Okay. Very good. Now, he was...
Thank you, and blessings on your journey.
About a century ago, John Worrell Keeley figured out how to run a motor on the power of what they call implosion while compressing and expanding water. And Dale Pond has done a lot of that work. A lot of scientists out there. And you're one of them, Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do next? What's up?
Well, what I think I'll be focusing on the next few years is what's John Alexander called evidence-based spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
How much can we start developing a spirituality that's really appropriate for our times because it meshes with science, and also uses science to make it more effective? You know, for instance, there are traditional meditation exercises that are supposed to develop people spiritually, but I suspect they don't work for a lot of people, or they work very ineffectively. How could we learn what kind of meditation to prescribe for what kind of people that would actually work well? There's so much to be done there. I think it'll keep me busy. And then when we have that interview 20 years from now,
and we will
say, how'd that work out, Charlie?
We may want to pre-tape it. Let's go to Nevada City, California, again, west of the Rockies. Hey, Jeff, go ahead.
Hey, how do you do?
Good.
I just started driving again. I didn't think I'd get on. I want to thank you both for your courage. I haven't really had that courage. I've had psychic ability since I was a child, and I'm 42 now. I'm a carpenter. I'm a pilot. I'm a very rational person, and I've manifested so many amazing things in my life. And so
great.
I'm not going to get into it, but my question is, I have seen and witnessed so many amazing events in my life that, and that physical and metaphysical, like, may laugh at me, and I just started telling my friends and people who know me about these matters, because I just said the hell with it. I'm not going to hide it anymore. I'm not going to worry about the consequences. I've seen Sasquatch.
Good for
I
you.
Have had incredible experiences in my life. I've had beds jumping up and down. And what my question is, have you heard, or does this happen to other people, that once they've opened their eyes or once they accept it, you see so much more of the world, that if somebody were to relay to me the same events and claim that they had happened to them, I wouldn't believe them. That would just sound outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons I've never told. I don't tell anybody, or not until very recently. And like I said, I'm 42 years old now, and they've happened my whole life.
Yeah, I've talked to many people who've had psychic events happen when they were young, and since they couldn't fit them into their life, they tried to ignore them or deny them or something like that, and that cost them psychologically. But once they accepted them, then all sorts of other interesting things began to happen, and things began to make sense. But still, still use discretion in who you talk to about this. You know, it's like some people aren't ready to hear some things, and if you just tell them what you think you know is true, it may be too much for them and may freak them out.
It does freak them out, and or they start thinking less of me or think I'm crazy. But I just, as to that earlier caller, at some point you have to check your own ego and not worry about it. So this is my truth. This is what I've seen. It's not a psychological disturbance. You know, I was afraid of that at first.
Yeah.
But now I'm not. I really am not.
Don't think of this as denying your truth. You're not denying your truth to yourself, but you're going to be considerate of others in how far you'll push them by sharing your truth.
So, Charlie, do you really think this is the end of materialism? I mean, have we gone that far now where we can say that?
No, it's not the end of materialism, because materialism is actually a useful philosophy for investigating the physical world. You know, what the materialism that it's the end of is what I might call dismissive materialism, the materialism that automatically says all spirituality is crap. That's what we need the end of, and that's what I'm trying to bring about in my book.
All right, let's take a few more calls. We'll go to Christine now in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Hey, Christine, go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Thanks for having me on.
Sure thing.
I just wanted to relate. I feel like I'm a very intuitive person. I wouldn't go so far as to say psychic or anything, but I can definitely relate to the feeling of people close to me when there's something wrong. I get physical manifestations of of something being wrong. I get ill, and then I'll come to find out something has happened. I dream. I'm a real prolific dreamer. And I dream in color, and I remember all of my dreams. And what's kind of, I don't know, it doesn't freak me out too much anymore, but it still kind of freaks my friends and my family out, is that I'm a pretty spiritual person, I feel. And a friend of mine, not too long ago, her brother-in-law out in Reno, Nevada, had a stroke, and I just happened to be working with her at that particular time on a daily basis. So every day, you know, we would talk and we'd pray together for her brother-in-law's health and that kind of thing. And then one night I dreamt that I was driving up to her sister and brother-in-law's house, and I could see the whole house, see the layout, see the color of the house, walked in the house, met her sister, her brother-in-law, and I could describe all of them, everything to a T. And I was a little nervous to tell her about that, but in the dream, it was just me coming to visit them and just making sure that he was okay and she was okay, you know, as far as getting through all of his problems. And so when I finally, after a couple hours of being at work, I decided it'll probably take her for a loop, but I'm going to go ahead and relay this to my friend. And so I described my dream, went through it, and described the home, described her sister and her brother-in-law. And I've never seen photos. She had never shared any kind of photos or anything like that. And she said I was dead on for mm-hmm. everything. So, and I do that a lot. One other thing that I do, and it's kind of this one.
And I've got 30 seconds, Christine.
Okay.
I'm gonna get around.
Oh, that's okay. We don't have to talk about that.
Okay.
But
I would say something there for all you folks who have dreams that are often psychic. There's an organization now that holds a net conference once a year on psychic dreams. I can't give you the URL off the top of my head, but I know they've just asked me to be part of it for this coming fall, and I'll be putting a notice on my mailing list soon, and you can get on my mailing list for events like these just by going to the first page of my webpage and signing up for the student notices thing.
And your website again, Charlie, is?
Just put my name into Google, and the website will be the second or third thing that comes up. It's
Absolutely.
Easier than remembering the URL.
Dr. Charles Tart, T-A-R-T. You got it. Thanks. The End of Materialism, How the Evidence of Paranormal is Bringing Science and Spirit Together. You've been a great interview, Charlie. Thank you so much. It's been 6 years. Let's not wait that long anymore. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesure, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy, and Punnett and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.